This morning we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 7. Text number 14. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tesham Kupata Distrinam. Tesham Kupata Tristinam. Patatam Tamasehi Udaha. Patatam Tamasehi Yahadaha. Yeshvadayur Vachastevai. Yeshvadayur Vachastevai. Majantyasma Palava Eva. Majantyasim Plava Eva. Tesham Kupata Drishninam. Patatam Tamasehi Adhaha. Ye Shraddhayur Vachastevai. Majantya Sma Plavaiva. Vaishnavis. Tesham, of them the misleaders, Kupata Trishninam, who show the path of danger, Patatam, themselves falling, Tamasi, in darkness, he indeed, Adha, down, yea, anyone who, Shraddhayu, place faith in, Vacha, the words, Te, they, Vai, indeed, Majanti, sink, Ashma Plavaha, boats made of stone, Eva, like. Translation. Leaders who have fallen into ignorance and who mislead people by directing them to the path of destruction, as described in the previous verse, are in effect boarding a stone boat, and so too are those who blindly following them. A stone boat would be unable to float and would sink in the water with its passengers. Similarly, those who mislead people go to hell, and their followers go with them. Srila Prabhupada's purport. As stated in the Vedic literature, Srimad Bhagavatam 11:20-17, Nirdaham Adyam Salabham Surdalayapdulabham Plavam Sukalpam Guru Korna Dharam. We, the conditioned souls, have fallen in the ocean of nescience, but the human body fortunately provides us a good opportunity to cross the ocean, because the human body is like a very good boat. When directed by a spiritual master acting as the captain, the boat can very easily cross the ocean. Furthermore, the boat is helped across by favorable winds, which are the instructions of Vedic knowledge. If one does not take advantage of all these facilities to cross the ocean of nescience, he is certainly committing suicide. One who boards a boat made of stone is doomed to be elevated to the stage of perfection. Humanity must first give up false leaders who present boats of stone. All of human society is in such a dangerous position that to be rescued it must abide by the standard instructions of the Vedas. The cream of these instructions appears in the form of Bhagavad Gita. One should not take shelter of any other instructions, for Bhagavad Gita gives direct instructions on how to fulfill the aim of human life. Lord Sri Krishna therefore says, Sarva Dharma Parityajya Mamekam Saranam Vraja. Give up all other processes of religion and simply surrender to me. Even if one does not accept Lord Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his instructions are so exalted and beneficial for humanity that if one follows his instructions, one will be saved. Otherwise, one will be cheated by unauthorized meditation and gymnastic methods of yoga. Thus, one will board a boat of stone, which will sink and drown all its passengers. Unfortunately, although the American people are extremely eager to get out of materialistic chaos they are sometimes fond to patronize the makers of stone boats. That will not help them. They must take the proper boat offered by Krishna in the form of this Krishna consciousness movement. Then they will be easily saved. In this regard, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti comments, Asmamaya plava yasam te yata majantam plavam anumajanti tatate rajanitya padeshusva so yesho kopo yanjitaha. If society is guided by political diplomacy with one nation maneuvering against another, it will certainly sink like a stone boat. Political maneuvering and diplomacy will not save human society. People must take to Krishna consciousness to understand the aim of life, to understand God, and to fulfill the human mission. Salakaya Chaksuramalitam Yena Tasvai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishnam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadalayam Dadati Swabadantikam Panchakal Pachovishcha Kripa Sindhu Vavacha Patitanam Bhavi Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda There was one morning, Srila Prabhupada's, I think it was his servant, came into the room with a newspaper under his arm. And when Prabhupada saw the newspaper, he asked, "So what is the news today? What are the rascals saying today?" And he was pointing out that we can understand the value of the newspaper because after it's read, it is thrown in the garbage bin. So there is no value whatsoever. Whereas if someone purchases a Bhagavad Gita or a Srimad Bhagavatam, then they will cherish that book for the rest of their life. And if they only read even one line, even one word from that book, their life is 100% successful. And Bhakti Siddhanta, he also commented that if all the books in the world were destroyed by fire and only one book remained, I think at that time he mentioned the Bhagavad Gita. But anyway, whether it's Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, there will be no loss to the world. So, Prabhupada was explaining in regards to the modern day leaders. Well, actually, first of all, Brahmananda asked Prabhupada, "It is very difficult for me to understand that actually the leaders are not to be trusted." This was his inquiry to Srila Prabhupada. He could not understand. Of course, in those days, the world was relatively mild, but today it is not so difficult to understand the demoniac nature of our present-day leaders. Well, this was Prabhupada's reply. Leaders are rogues and thieves. In fact, he went even further to say, hogs, dogs, camels, and asses. And he had no qualms about calling them in that way. Of course, he would say to us, you cannot do it, I can do it. I'm an old man. They won't take it too seriously. But anyway, I will say it. And he also said at one point that he said, if the leaders knew the contents of my books, they would never have allowed them to be distributed. And then he said, but now it's too late. They've already gone out. They've already been distributed. So the world is being inundated with the absolute truth. Sometimes I'm asked, what is that particular aspect of Srila Prabhupada that endeared you mostly to become a devotee or to remain a devotee? And each time I think about it, I come up with the same answer. Of course, there are many wonderful qualities of Srila Prabhupada. In every aspect, he was our leader. Showing us the way through the mess of this material world. But the thing that comes to my mind more than anything of the great qualities of Srila Prabhupada was the fact that he told the truth. And this is very significant, because the world is inundated with so many lies. Lie after lie after lie after lie after lie. More lies, more lies. Lie after lie after lie after lie. And more lies. From the carton of juice that says 100% pure to the landing on the moon, it is all lies. Is your carton of juice that says 100% pure? Is it 100% pure? No. Say it loudly.
No.
Even louder.
No.
Then why are you drinking it? That means we agree with what they say and do. If I was able to rename the carton of fruit juice that said 100% pure, I will write 100% rubbish, come and buy. 100% rubbish. If you analyze a carton of fruit juice, you'll get probably 2% real juice within that carton. Otherwise, it is rubbish. And practically speaking, whatever they say and touch out there, these demons, it becomes contaminated. And the biggest lie of all was the landing on the moon. At that time, was it 1969, I think, Prabhupada was watching the landing, so-called landing of the moon on television with some disciples. Excuse me. And at one point he said, they have not landed on the moon. And this actually upset quite a few devotees who were present. One devotee said, but Prabhupada, it's on the television. It's being broadcasted all over the world. Thousands and hundreds and thousands of people are watching. And then Prabhupada said again, they have not landed on the moon. Of course, nowadays, if you Google moon landing, there's so many Hulk theories about that landing back in 1969, that who actually believes nowadays that man landed on the moon? And even if they did, what was the benefit? They brought some rocks, it's in a museum somewhere, and Hare Krishna. So. It's pathetic, to say the least. One devotee asked Prabhupada, so why don't we run for candidates? Why don't we become candidates, run for president or run for leadership? And then this was also interesting how Prabhupada replied to that. You cannot do anything unless you turn the masses of people Krishna conscious. What you will do there? Suppose one man is elected. All demons, what he will do there? Therefore, the first thing is, turn the people Krishna conscious, and then they will vote. That is for certain. So he was pointing this out, that even if a devotee became a leader, he would be surrounded by non-devotee demons. And what would he be able to achieve from being a leader? So this was Prabhupada's point, that our mission is to turn the masses. We will give the masses Krishna consciousness, and then the masses themselves will elect a leader. So as it's pointed out in this verse, that the leaders are misguiding people, they themselves, they will go to hell, and everyone that follows them will also go to hell. There's a nice phrase in the Bible spoken by Jesus, the blind leading the blind, that a person who's blind, he cannot see anything, but he's dictating, let's go this direction. And everyone is holding him, each one is holding each other's shoulder, and they're walking, following the blind. And they ultimately all end up in a ditch. So this is the situation in modern day society. And therefore, the purpose of Krishna consciousness is to point our finger at the wrongdoings of the leadership of the world. And we are doing it in so many different ways. This is a nice song which was written back in the 80s by a reggae band. These were devotees. This particular song is called The Vile Society. They're trying to hang their hat where their hand can't reach. And those who don't know nothing, they're trying to teach. Their hearts are hard like stone, yet they pretend to weep. And those who don't sow nothing, they're trying to reap. They'll kill their children before they're born, and they'll kill the cow just to get the horn. They don't care anymore what they eat. They will kill their mother just to get the meat. They're intoxicating themselves to death, and smoke and fire have become their breath. The brain is now like a gaping hole, and they don't know nothing about the spirit soul. This is the chorus. So when you see that thing start smoking, you know the fire ain't far behind. There won't be time for turning back when the big wheel starts to grind. For when the human being starts sinking till the standard gets too low, such a violent society ain't got long to go. Now the air is nothing but factory smoke, yet everybody's going broke. The school is just like a slaughterhouse where they love to read about Mickey Mouse. And the women all want to be the men, and the men can only remember when. And the children leave when they learn to walk, and with obscene language they learn to talk. History repeats itself, they say, and there is an end to the longest day. So don't feel bad when the axe comes down, because you won't know if to smile or frown. No matter what you may say or do, you can only get what's coming to you. And the only way you can change your fate is by going back to your spiritual state. Nice song. Yeah? Actually, the whole album's really, really good. If I have time, I will end with another song, which is very positive. Actually, in these last few months, I've been working on a slideshow. This is my offering to Srila Prabhupada on the 50th anniversary of ISKCON. The name of the slideshow is called Atma in Transit. And within a half an hour, our whole material existence is portrayed. So from the time we left Krishna Loka and made our descent to the material world, we took up many, many different species of life and came to the human form of life, but then got entangled in the free modes of material nature, overcome by our senses and mind and the free modes of material nature, and becoming completely degraded to the point where the Yamadutas came to take this soul to Yamaraj. But then the super soul within the heart made an arrangement for a devotee to come to this particular soul and give him some Mahaprasad and a Bhagavad Gita. And this, in turn, this devotee helped the soul engage in devotional service, and through the devotional service, he went back home, back to Godhead. Hari Hari Bol. The verse that's mentioned here in the 11th canto, 11:20-17, Srimad Bhagavatam. The human body, which can award all benefits in life, is automatically obtained by the laws of nature, although it is a very rare achievement. This human body can be compared to a perfectly constructed boat. Having the spiritual master as the captain and the instructions of the Supreme Personality as favorable winds, impelling it on its course. Considering all these advantages, a human being who does not utilize his human life to cross the ocean of material existence must be considered the killer of his own soul. So this is the advantage we have. We have reached the human form of life. Okay, we've got entangled. We fell into Maya, in some cases very severely. But we have the human form of life. It is our boat to somehow be able to cross the ocean of material existence. The ocean of material existence is so vast, you cannot possibly measure the vastness of this ocean. It is not possible to cross it by any other means than a spiritual practice and with the mercy of Guru and Krishna. We have this at our disposal. Not only that, we have Lord Chaitanya and his special favor on us. He has his own boat. He has picked us up on his personal boat, which he's personally guiding through that ocean of material existence. So in one sense, we're on a boat within a boat. We have double advantage. Just like for the non-devotees, sometimes they're in the prison. I went to a prison in India last winter in Vishakhapatnam. I went with the devotees. We did one prison program. It was the first time I've ever experienced the environment of a prison. And I was thinking while I was there, well, they're within this prison, but actually in real terms, they're within a prison within a prison. They're in a prison within a prison. They may say when they're in the prison, when I get out of here, I'll be free. This is what they're thinking. They're only thinking how to get out of this prison, not understanding that actually they're in a prison within a prison. Wow. So our great fortune is that we're on a boat within a boat. The boat, as explained in this verse, this material body, it is a conducive boat for crossing the ocean of material existence. We have the captain of our boat, which is Srila Prabhupada, and our Diksha gurus and other spiritual leaders. So there's a nice guidance we have within our society. And we have the wind. We have the wind also. The wind pushing the boat along. Because if without the wind, the boat would remain still. This is another advantage that we have in spiritual life. If you have an education, if you're at the university and you want to pass a degree, the onus is on you only. According to the degree that you study and attend the classes to that degree, you'll get your diploma. Within Krishna consciousness, yes, we do also study. There is some element of study. And there's also an element of practice, utilizing the mind and the senses and the body in devotional service. So we make our little effort. We work in such a way that everything's dependent on us. But at the same time, we're waiting for the grace to descend upon us. So we work in such a way that everything depends on us, but we're praying daily in such a way, my dear Lord, please shower your mercy, because I'm such a fool and insignificant. I am trying my best, but I'm falling short. Please help me. So this is the wind which helps us cross this vast ocean of material existence. This is another quote from Srila Prabhupada. Our movement is an epidemic. It will devour the whole of Europe and America. As for the newspapers giving bad reports, they simply take some opportunity for selling their newspapers. It has no lasting value. These countries are faced with difficulties, but it is nature's law. They will be without food, water, and they will be heavily taxed. There will be revolution. How long can they keep the people terrorized? It will burst. I can't imagine how people are living in such a rotten state. There is nothing like pleasure. All is morose. Only we are benedicting the fallen souls all over the world. So go on with your enthusiastic preaching of Krishna consciousness. This is a letter in February 1977. So, therefore, we're on the boat, and no matter how difficult our spiritual life may be, some days, of course, it's very sweet and nice, we're very focused, but other days, it may be the opposite. I remember Sri Tukirti mentioned in his book that he wrote about Srila Prabhupada, what is the difficulty? And one passage he made a point how Prabhupada once told him that it takes at least 12 years to wake up from that dreamy condition of material life. He said that after the 12 years, whatever you say and do will have much more potency and more meaning in your Krishna conscious life. He said before that, there is a lot of difficulty. It is like when you wake up in the morning, you don't wake up immediately. You have to kind of search for the bathroom door. You have to search for your toothbrush and toothpaste. And you put your toothpaste on the brush and you're looking halfway in the mirror at yourself as you're brushing your teeth. And at any moment you can think to yourself, let's go back to sleep again, because you haven't fully woken up. But having taken the shower, then you perk up. Oh, another day. Yes, my name is such and such. My name is dear Shantadas Goswami. I am giving the Srimad Bhagavatam class today. Let's go. But isn't it like that? It takes a while to wake up, even after a night's sleep. So what to speak of the fact that we've been sleeping, we've been sitting in Maya's lap so long. Prabhupada said so long we cannot even calculate. So why not 12 years? At least give yourself 12 years grace. Push, fight. There may be some rocking on the boat. You may feel seasick, but don't jump off the boat. The boat is rocking because of the waves. The waves represent the free modes of material nature. We will expect, until we rise to the mode of goodness, we will expect to be influenced by the free modes of material nature. In fact, we need to come higher than the mode of goodness. Nistraigunya. This is Krishna consciousness, where we become like lotus flowers. Although born in the mud, we flower above even the water. But give yourself some time. Give yourself some space. Don't be impatient. This is one of our conditionings. We have been brought up in a society where everything is instant. If you want some food, you just go to a frozen food shop. Buy a packet of frozen food, take it home, throw it in the microwave oven, and presto, there is your meal. If you want a drink, you put a tea bag in hot water, there is your drink. There's so many conveniences today which make our life so easy. And therefore we become complacent. And at any moment there's some inconvenience. Then we start complaining, what is this inconvenience? So coming to Krishna consciousness, sometimes it's like a slap across the face for the false ego, which is used to convenience. There will be inconveniences. It is said, hardships to perfection. There will be hardships. But those hardships, they are meant to be there. They are also assisting us to come to these higher levels, the qualities that we must adhere to actually love and serve Krishna. There was one man, he was watching a butterfly which was in its cocoon. He was struggling to get out of the cocoon. And the man was intrigued, he was watching. Oh, let me watch this butterfly get out. But then after some time, the butterfly stopped struggling. So the man was thinking, oh, he cannot get out. Let me help him. So he took a pair of scissors and cut the cocoon and waited for the butterfly to fly away. But the butterfly did not fly. It just dropped on the floor and it remained an invalid for the rest of its life. The man was thinking he was doing some good. He was helping, but actually he did disservice. Nature's arrangement is that struggle within the cocoon is meant to be there so that certain liquids could enter into the wings of the butterfly to make those wings strong, so that when he eventually comes out, he will be able to fly. So this is Krishna consciousness. We should accept all inconveniences as a means to perfection. That they will assist us also in crossing this great ocean of material existence. So in essence, what are we saying? That actually there is nothing negative within spiritual life. Everything is positive. And all hardships and inconveniences should be used as a means by coming to another level of our Krishna consciousness. So it's all good, everything is all good. We cannot complain about anything. Sometimes even devotees will conjure up, oh, this Mayapur temple, it's not auspicious, it's not Vedic, there's no... What do you call this when you build something in a certain... Huh? Vastu. You can go on and on and on and on and make all your speculation as much as you like. But when you have Radha Madhava, Radha Shamsud, how can you say something is inauspicious? They make everything auspicious. So everything within our life, within Krishna consciousness, is auspicious. There is nothing inauspicious. So we have no reason to jump off this boat, which is going swiftly, Prabhupada says, across the ocean of material existence. I will finish off with one quote, again from Srila Prabhupada. It was again a question asked by Tumal Krishna Maharaj at the time when he was his servant. He asked Prabhupada, your disciples are going out every day preaching. They're preaching in so many different corners of the world, in so many inauspicious circumstances, difficult circumstances. So his question was, what about at the time of death, if we're not actually ready, we haven't prepared ourselves sufficiently, there's still some deficiency on our part to remember Krishna at the time of death. And Prabhupada's reply was, you take that chance for Krishna. You take that chance for Krishna. And even if there is some deficiency, Sri Sri Gaurnathai will enter into the recesses of your mind and heart and drag you back home, back to Godhead. So again, you know, we cannot become complacent. We cannot, it's Kali Yuga, I have a Kali Yuga brain, I'm unqualified, I. Can't. Now, there are many statements where Prabhupada had reassured us that if we were sincere, if we sincerely chant our 16 rounds every day and follow the four regulative principles and assist Lord Chaitanya in spreading the Sankirtan movement, then there's every guarantee that we will go back home within this lifetime. So, let's stay on this boat, crossing the ocean of material saga, and let the non-devotees climb on their stone boats and sink to hell. We will try to save them before they go. Let's get on with it. Srimad Bhagavatam class ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Tai Gaur Premanandi.